This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We take you through the remainder of this one lone game in progress here in the afternoon slate of Week 17 Sunday. That is the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles. And then we will preview Sunday night football coming up between the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Buffalo Bills do have the football, trailing 13-0 against the Philadelphia Eagles with just under 10 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. This has been a game that has been dominated by the Philadelphia defense. Josh Allen has not been able to do much offensively. He is limping around, clearly impacted by the foot injury that he suffered last week. He did recently on the possession before take one of the most ridiculous sacks you will ever going to see when he tried to extend the play and do what Josh Allen does, which is make magic happen. But the Eagles did get to him. The Eagles have gotten to him five times already in this game. Five sacks for 51 yards. As far as how Allen has done offensively, 17 of 26 passing for 181 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. James Cook, 16 carries for 57 yards, and that's going to be more now as he just had a solid run here. Josh Allen has carried it four times for 18 yards only, and as I mentioned, sacked five times for 51 yards. For the Eagles, it hasn't been like a dominant offensive display either. Pouring rain throughout the majority of this game. And the Eagles' offense has been pretty stagnant. Jalen Hurts, 13 of 26 passing for 110 yards and a touchdown. Saquon Barkley, 17 carries for 70 yards. A.J. Brown, the leading receiver, 5 catches for 68 yards. That's it. 13-0 is your score here. And as bad as Buffalo has looked at times in this game, if they score on this possession, they are right in this game, assuming that they can stop Philly and get the football back with plenty of time. But there is plenty of time left in this game. Again, 13-0, 8.5 minutes. The Bills are approaching the red zone. Your live line right now, we'll refresh here, is Bills plus 6.5, if you are intrigued by taking the Bills on the live line. So Eagles minus 6.5 on the live line. Total of 20.5 is the live total in this game. This is the only game in progress right now. The Giants and the Raiders, the only other afternoon game here on this Week 17 Sunday slate, that came to a merciful conclusion with the Giants defeating the Raiders by a final score of 34-10. And yes, there's going to be a lot of tanking conversation. We put out a video here up on VSiN from last night, this morning, where I was very critical for everybody that was just assuming that this was going to be a tankathon by the Raiders. And I emphasized, players do not tank. And they don't. The organization can do what it can do to not put the players in the best position to succeed, right? So Brock Bowers shut down for the final two games of the season. Max Crosby shut down for the final two games of the season. That was not about losing this game to the Giants. The Raiders lost this game to the Giants because the Raiders are just not a good football team. And Geno Smith is not a good quarterback. Geno Smith, who's lost his job already this season before retaking his job back. I mean, this is not a good football team. And I tweeted out moments ago, you guys can always follow me, at Scott's on Air, players don't tank, but they can just stink. That's what you have here with the Raiders. But make no mistake, the organization did not shut down Brock Bowers and shut down Max Crosby because they were thinking we have to lose to the New York Giants. No, they shut down those two players to protect them for this offseason and for next season because those are the two most valuable pieces on this team right now. And for a player like Max Crosby, who is going to draw major interest in the trade market, the last thing the Raiders can afford was to have him further injure himself in week 17 or week 18. Smart decision by the organization to shut down those two players, to have them get their surgeries ASAP and start their rehab ASAP so that they can get back for week one of next season or even be back for training camp and the offseason activities. And for, in the case of Max Crosby, to rehab and get healthy enough so that another organization out there is willing to give you a ransom to acquire Max Crosby. Now, if the result also winds up having you lose this game to the New York Giants, so be it. They're not going to cry, boo-hoo. They're going to get the number one overall pick. They're either going to draft a quarterback and then hire a new head coach to come in, replace Pete Carroll, and then pair up that new coach with the new quarterback, or they trade the number one overall pick and they get a haul of picks and players to rebuild this roster under likely a new head coach replacing Pete Carroll. There were a lot of expectations for the Raiders this season. Maybe not postseason aspirations, but you bring in Pete Carroll, you bring in Geno Smith, and this team was thought to be better than it was last season. And you had the pieces to be able to compete this year. But it has been a colossal failure. Chip Kelly as an offensive coordinator was a colossal failure, and he was dismissed. Geno Smith at quarterback has been a colossal failure. The offensive line has been a colossal failure. You have this incredible weapon in the backfield in Ashton Jeanty, and you have one of the worst offensive lines in football to the point where he's getting contacted behind the line of scrimmage more than any running back in the NFL. You have no offensive coordinator to try and get creative and scheme up some plays to get the football in the hands of your best playmakers. You trade away your best playmaker in Jacoby Myers to the Jacksonville Jaguars. This has just been a disaster of a football team. But you want to talk about tanking? To me, that is disrespectful to every single one of these players that took the field today. No, Geno Smith did not try to lose this game on purpose. No, Ashton Jeanty did not try to lose this game on purpose. No, the Raiders' defensive players did not try to lose this game on purpose. If you won your bet on the New York Giants, congratulations. You bet on one bad team to beat another bad team. Great. And the line moved accordingly. Because of all the conversation about the tanking, the line moved significantly. The Giants were field goal favorites when this thing kicked off. They were 1 to 1.5. It moved to a field goal. Why? Because everybody talked about tanking. And you know something? Sometimes the conversation, it plays out that way. And it worked out. But the Raiders did not lose this game because the players on the field were trying to lose this game on purpose. No. The Raiders lost this game because they're just a bad football team. That's the bottom line. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. The Buffalo Bills have scored a touchdown. However, the extra point was blocked. So instead of it being 13-7, it is a 13-6 football game. 5:11 remaining here in the fourth quarter. Eagles leading 13-6, your live line, Philly -6.5, live total of 21.5. And the Bills will now see if they can get a stop on defense and get the football back and put themselves in a position to go score a touchdown and either win or tie the game. The old adage, if it comes down to it, is you go for the tie at home and you play for overtime at home. On the road, you go for the win. But it also matters like how you feel your team is health-wise, how you feel your team is in the course of like the momentum of the game. Like, I got to be honest, like if the Bills are able to come up with a stop here and then march down the field and score a touchdown, that'll be two consecutive drives in which they scored a touchdown here against the Philadelphia Eagles defense. You would think that they would have enough, like, you would think they would have the advantage in overtime. That's what I'm trying to say. You would think the Bills, who have shut out the Eagles here in the second half, right? The Eagles were up 13-0 at the half. So if you go into overtime after the Eagles do not score in the second half and the Bills score 13 points in the final two drives of the fourth quarter to go into overtime, who do you think is going to be favored in overtime? It's clearly going to be the Buffalo Bills. So that has to weigh into your decision as to whether or not you want to go for go for two or not. But we're a long ways away from that. Eagles have the football now. They're obviously going to try and milk the clock, get a couple of first downs, ideally score and put this game away. And for the Bills, come up with a stop, get the football back, and then you still have to march down the field and score a touchdown. So let's see how it plays out. First down was really good for the Bills as they stop Saquon Barkley behind the line of scrimmage. So we'll keep an eye on this one as it ticks down, and we'll figure out if there's any live bets to place while we are watching the final 5 minutes of this game. And then we will get to our Sunday night football preview, where the San Francisco 49ers take on the Chicago Bears. We do have the official word that tight end George Kittle is inactive for this game tonight. So George Kittle is inactive for the game tonight for the San Francisco 49ers. Wide receiver Ricky Pearsall is active, but tight end George Kittle will not play here for the 49ers against the Chicago Bears. Right now here at Circa, the 49ers are still 3.5-point favorites over the Bears with a total of 51. So we haven't seen any movement with the official announcement that George Kittle was out. How much is George Kittle worth to a line? How much was it already baked in that Kittle was not going to play in this game because he had been doubtful pretty much all week? So you can say that the 3.5 line was already with the assumption that George Kittle was not going to play in this football game. But we'll monitor any late line moves and give you our best plays for Sunday night football coming up as well. I'm Scott Satterberg. Once again, you can hit me up on Twitter at @ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSIN Live. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So thinking about the Buffalo Bills opportunity here with 2:29 to go in the fourth quarter, should they march down the field and score a touchdown, and they have the ball on their own 30-yard line right now, down 13-6. I was reminded, Steve Fezzik, our good friend, pro bettor, reminded me that the Bills would go for the win because the tie does not help them. Their chances of winning the division are purely based on them winning out and New England losing next week to the Miami Dolphins. And so they would go for the win because if you go into overtime, you run the risk, especially in this bad weather, you run the risk of getting the tie. So if you eliminate the tie option, which let's say it's 20% or whatever it is, if you eliminate the tie option, that's what you have by going for two in a 50-50 proposition for a two-point conversion. So you try and win the game 50-50 as opposed to you win the game 40% of the time. If you go into overtime, you lose the game 40% of the time. You tie 20% of the time. So they would go for two, taking their chances on one play to win the game. Let's see. They have to get into the end zone first. They got to score first here, but the Bills do have the football on their own 30-yard line, 2:20 to go here, and they have a full complement of timeouts remaining. So the clock is, they're not afraid of it. The clock is certainly on their side as they get ready to figure out how they're going to play out the final 2 minutes. They're going to let the two-minute warning go by, because that's the other thing, too. When Buffalo scores, they're going to have to be mindful of how much time is left on the clock for Philadelphia. Now, I know what you're saying. You can't think about that. You got to think about scoring first. I get where you're coming from. but they do have to be mindful. This is the new world of the NFL that we live in, where and in this weather, it's not assumed, obviously, but a field goal opportunity is a lot easier to get nowadays with the new kickoff rules, with the returns happening, and with, of course, how many times do we see, like, the new K-balls, the kickers are kicking it deeper and deeper, right? So, step one, move down the field, get yourself in a position to get a touchdown. Part of that, though, step two, or step 1A, be mindful of the clock, because you want to score with as little time left to allow the Eagles an opportunity to go down and kick a field goal. Once again, I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so from now, we are going to get a preview of the Sunday night game between the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers. Zach Pearson from Bears Report from 24/7 Sports will join us on the program, and we'll find out how the Bears are attacking this game. They certainly, they have a chance to get the one seed, right? So that's alive. If they win out and things break their way, they could get the one seed here in the NFC playoff picture. They would need to win this game against the 49ers and then win next week and then have the 49ers beat the Seahawks next week. So, but the 49ers, they're also playing for the one seed. If they win tonight and next week against the Seahawks, the 49ers are the one seed. And we've talked about that before with San Francisco, how crazy it would be that their plane ride home from Indianapolis last Monday night would be the final time they get on a plane all season long. Because they're home tonight, home next week. If they win those two games, their home field advantage throughout the playoffs and the Super Bowl is in their home stadium. So they would never have to get on a plane ever again. From an X's and O's standpoint of that game, it was identified in our weekly trench report as a significant rushing mismatch for both of these teams. Does that mean we see a big Christian McCaffrey game? Does that mean we see a big DeAndre Swift / Kyle Manungai game? I think the over is clearly the way to look here because both of these defenses can be had, and both of these offenses are certainly playing well. Brock Purdy, and I've talked about this before, is playing like the best quarterback in the NFL. Statistically, Brock Purdy is playing like the best quarterback in the NFL. And you just wonder, can he do that here against this Bears defense? Yeah, he can very likely do that against this Bears defense. So, do we like the 49ers to continue to score? Without George Kittle, they're going to have to pick it up somewhere else. Is Christian McCaffrey get involved heavily in the passing game? Likely. He's their leading receiver. Could this be a Juwan Jennings game? Could Ricky Pearsall finally break out? We saw Pearsall and Brock Purdy have that incredible rapport early in the season. Not so much anymore. Is this the moment where Ricky Pearsall gets back into the swing of things with Brock Purdy? Maybe. I like DeAndre Swift. Like a couple of props that I played already in this game, I like Christian McCaffrey over 5.5 receptions, especially at a plus money price, because he is their passing game. And especially with no George Kittle, that's going to open up passing opportunities in short yardage situations and in the red zone, where George Kittle has been an incredible option here for Brock Purdy. It's going to open things up here for Christian McCaffrey. The Buffalo Bills on a 4th and 10 just ran a hook and lateral play to gain a huge chunk of yards. The pass was caught and then pitched to the running back, Ty Johnson. What a play by the Bills. I mean, I think the regular reception might have gotten the first down anyway, but what a great play. It moves them down to the 47-yard line or so. So they have crossed midfield with a minute 40 left here in the game. So first down, now second down after a deflected pass at the line of scrimmage. So the Bills moving the football there. But what a conversion on a 4th and 10. Big play here for the Buffalo Bills. Very, very fun play to watch at a very big time. Anyway, let's get back into tonight's game. I do think that without George Kittle, it opens up things for Christian McCaffrey in the passing game, especially getting a plus money price on McCaffrey to go over 5.5 receptions. I'm going to jump in on that. Yes, you're being taxed a bit, but again, plus money, you're really not getting taxed a bit. Would I be happier laying juice with an over 4.5 receptions. I mean, maybe you can, but that's, you're talking about like minus 200 or so on a play like that. Now I can get plus 105, plus 108 on six receptions for a guy that's very capable of getting the six receptions without one of the, he is already the leading receiver. So now you take out another leading receiver in George Kittle. Yeah, I think it's very doable to see Christian McCaffrey wind up with those receptions. Just look at how McCaffrey has done so far this season. Last game, he had six catches. Only one against Tennessee. He had four against Cleveland, seven against Carolina. He had eight against the Rams, seven against Tampa Bay, seven against Atlanta, eight against the Rams, 10 against Arizona, six against New Orleans, nine against Seattle. He's had many games where he has gone over 5.5 receptions. So that is my one prop that I locked in here for this game here tonight. Another prop that I have locked in also is DeAndre Swift to go over 74.5 rushing plus receiving yards. DeAndre Swift does get involved heavily in the pass game for Ben Johnson. And I think going up against this 49er defense, which has been vulnerable to both the pass and the run, I do think that we're going to see a good performance here from DeAndre Swift, both on the ground and in the receiving game. So I played the over 74.5 combo, rushing plus receiving yards here for DeAndre Swift. All right, let's get you updated on what's going on here. Josh Allen has just completed a deep shot down the field, kind of one of those 50-50 balls that Josh Allen just throws up and his receiver in one-on-one situations just somehow catches it. And then on the next play, deep in the red zone, Josh Allen scrambles, runs for a few yards, and gets tackled at about the 3-yard line maybe. So 23 seconds left in the game. The Bills have one timeout remaining. The Eagles have two timeouts remaining. Josh Allen, six carries for 26 yards and already a touchdown in the game. He is 22 of 34 passing for 260 yards. And let's see if he can engineer another touchdown here with 23 seconds left. As someone who played Josh Allen over 6.5 rushing attempts, I'm kind of hoping that he runs in a touchdown here from the 4-yard line. So 23 seconds. It is third and goal for the Buffalo Bills. Allen's going to pass it, and it's going to be a touchdown. Now, are they going to throw a flag on the pick play? Are they going to throw a flag on a pick play? No, there's no flags. Dawson Knox into the end zone for the touchdown. Okay. We have seen this play many times in the NFL, guys. That is called a pick play more times than not. It happened to the Detroit Lions last week. And and they're going to see if he was down or not at the goal line. This is going to be close. Was Dawson Knox elbowed down before the ball crossed the plane? The fact that this was ruled a touchdown on the field plays into the favor of the Buffalo Bills as this play is being reviewed. 12 seconds remaining in regulation, and it's the decision time for the Buffalo Bills. Go for two in the win or kick the extra point and play for overtime. We'll talk more Sunday Night Football, give you an update on this game coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberger. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It all comes down to this. Well, there'll still be 5 seconds left on the clock. But Josh Allen, Dawson Knox was ruled down at the goal line. The Josh Allen tush push slash jump over the line scores the touchdown. The Bills are down 13-12 and are going for the 2-point conversion and the win. And this is what we talked about earlier. This is the right move. The tie does not help them to win the division. Their only chance to win the division is to win this game, win next week, and have the Patriots lose next week. So going for two in the win is the right move here. And so let's see the play that happens here. I was just surprised that the Eagles did not use any of their timeouts to leave themselves some time to potentially get a field goal opportunity. Now they're going to get the ball with 5 seconds left. Josh Allen being pressured, throws it incomplete, game over. That was not a great 2-point conversion attempt as Josh Allen had no chance to throw that ball complete. So, listen, game on the line, you're supposed to run your best play your best two-point play. That was did not look like the best two-point play. So this game will end with the Eagles winning 13-12. He was open, too. And now let's take a look at Sunday Night Football. The San Francisco 49ers will host the Chicago Bears, currently here at Circa. 49ers, 3.5-point favorites, total of 51. We do know now we have the confirmation that George Kittle, the tight end for the San Francisco 49ers, will not play in this game. Joining us now in the Progressive Guest Line to break down this game from a Chicago Bears perspective is Zach Pearson from Bears Report for 24/7 Sports. Joins us here on Live Bet Sunday. Zach, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes here. And so no George Kittle tonight for the 49ers. How does that affect the way the Bears play this offense here defensively to scheme without having to defend George Kittle now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's huge because you just take a big weapon out of San Francisco's offense, which has been, you know, rolling the last 5 weeks. I don't think they've punted since November.
Nope.
And we all know Kittle is a huge, huge part of that offense. So kind of take some pressure off the Bears linebackers and secondary a little bit. And I guess they can focus a lot more on Christian McCaffrey now.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey, who has been a major part of this offense, not just running the football, but receiving the football as well. How much has the conversation been this week about limiting McCaffrey's ability to catch the ball out of the backfield?
Yeah, it's been the majority of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Johnson's praised him. Dennis Allen's praised him. We've heard from several Bears players. They know how dangerous Christian McCaffrey can be, you know, not only as a running back, but like you said, out of the backfield as a pass catcher. He's a dynamic player. He changes the offense when he gets going, and he's the focal point of the offense. So it'll be a good challenge for this Bears defense. And, you know, I think their secondary is going to stack up well with the wide receivers. But, you know, can T.J. Edwards, can Tremaine Edmonds, can these linebackers keep up with McCaffrey, you know, when the 49ers get him out there in space and try to get the football to him?
Yeah, and listen, the Bears have their own, you know, somewhat version of Christian McCaffrey. DeAndre Swift, very capable of being a receiver out of the backfield. One of my favorite plays for tonight is to go over DeAndre Swift's combo rushing plus receiving yards. Do you expect to see Swift involved heavily in the passing game tonight?
Yeah, I really think we're going to get both of these running backs working. You know, I think they're going to run the ball a lot, but I do think Swift will be a factor in the pass game as well. You know, they're down Roma Dunze, they're down Olamide Zaccheaus. You know, there's a flu bug going around in the Bears locker room. DJ Moore's got it. He's going to play, but how effective will he be? You know, Luther Burden will be out there, but outside of that, you know, it's just the tight ends and DeAndre Swift are going to have to make an impact, you know, in the receiving game. And I've been really impressed with DeAndre Swift, honestly. I feel like very underrated this season and has really performed well, not only, you know, as a running back, but as a pass catcher, too.
Who else do you expect to be involved? You mentioned Luther Burden will be out there. You mentioned the tight ends. And with the lack of some of the wide receivers that are down here for Caleb Williams, who besides DeAndre Swift do you expect to be heavily targeted tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking at the rookies. I'm looking at the rookie trio, Luther Burden, Kyle Manungai, and Colston Loughlin. All part of this rookie class and all have had a big impact on this season so far for the Bears. And, you know, Caleb Williams, he loves Colston Loughlin down in the red zone. He's kind of built that connection with Luther Burden as the games have gone on. You know, before Burden got hurt in that Browns game, he was their go-to guy in that game. And then, you know, obviously Kyle Manungai gets his touches in the back, so they kind of do the split running back by committee type approach. So I think all three of those rookies are going to be heavily leaned on for the Bears. And that's great because they get experience in a big game with the playoffs coming up.
Zach, what's been the biggest surprise from the Bears this season? You know, obviously Ben Johnson comes in, a lot of expectations, a lot of conversation about how he's going to, you know, change Caleb Williams for the better. And yeah, Caleb Williams has had some moments where he has shined this season. But overall, looking at the Bears this year, they won the division. There's a chance of them getting the one seed should they win out and they get help in week 18. What's been the biggest surprise, the biggest thing that stood out to you so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. You know, one of the biggest ones in my eyes is the turnovers. They force a lot of turnovers, and they really do not turn the football over on offense. Dennis Allen, you know, he has Nashawn Wright and Kevin Byard. I believe they're tied for the lead league in interceptions. They're somewhere up to like 36, 37 takeaways, something around that number. They're just finding ways to take the football away. I mean, on the offense, they're not taking it away, and I think, or not giving it up. And I think that's been a big reason for the success and the success of Caleb Williams as well. I think he's got one game this year with multi turnovers in a game. So that's been kind of the biggest things. And I think, passing these tests, they go into Philadelphia, they get a big win. They almost beat Green Bay on the road. I think they passed that test that they could play with a lot of those teams, and they beat Green Bay last week as well. So yeah, I think those are probably the biggest things that are surprising me right now.
Talking right now to Zach Pearson, who covers the Chicago Bears for 24/7 Sports. Joining me, Scott Seidenberg on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN as we take a look at Sunday Night Football, the 49ers taking on the Chicago Bears. So we talked about what we can expect here from the Bears offensively and some of the things that have gone well for them. You mentioned limiting the turnovers. I actually think the offensive line has been the best thing that I've noticed about the Bears so far this season. The 49er defense has had its issues, obviously decimated by injuries so far this season. No Fred Warner, and they are bad against the run ever since Fred Warner has left. They don't get pressure with the four guys up front, and Robert Saleh doesn't typically blitz to send a lot of pressure. Does this mean we expect a big-time performance from Caleb Williams tonight in a possible clean pocket situation?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, and especially with how good the offensive line's played. But the Bears' MO has been, they're going to run the football. They want to come out and run the football. They're really good at running the football. I think they have the second-best rush offense going into this week, only behind Buffalo. So I think they're going to lean on the run early, and they're going to kind of make it a little easy for Caleb Williams, mix in some play-action passes and kind of pick and choose when they take their shots. Even when they were playing against Green Bay last week, they stuck with the run even though they were trailing for most of that game. And I think that really helps them and benefits them. So I think it wouldn't surprise me if Caleb Williams had a nice game. But I'm leaning more towards getting Menungai and Swift going and then working on the play action there.
If the Bears lose, I don't want to look ahead too much, but if the Bears lose this game, do you think that they still play everybody and play hard here in week number 18? I mean, I guess there's a chance they do have the tiebreaker over Philadelphia. So I guess there's a chance they could slip from the 2 to 3, maybe if they lose out and Philly wins. But would you expect everybody to be playing a full complement of snaps in week 18 if they drop this game tonight?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, first year for Ben Johnson, we really don't know kind of what to expect. And then, I also mentioned there is that illness going around the locker room. They've been hit with it the past week or two. I don't know if that's going to slow down. So I think that would kind of impact it. Mm. I think they'll start their starters against the Lions. I think it might be one of those things where, we'll pull some of these guys as the game goes on. Maybe halftime's the most you can, have them out there. But then again, Ben Johnson's been pretty honest with us, so we'll probably get that question this week. And it would not shock if he went full throttle, and played all the starters to kind of make sure they got momentum going into the playoffs, in their first-round matchup in a wild card weekend.
That's a great point. And we'll see what Ben Johnson decides to do and what what we can learn about his attitude and his coaching at the end of the season to look forward to for future seasons to come. Zach, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight, and look forward to catching up soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
There he is, Zach Pearson, covering the Bears there for 24/7 Sports. I'll go over the playoff situation here. If the Bears win this game, they're still alive for the number one seed in the NFC. If they lose this game, they will still be the 2 seed. And then it comes down to next week because they do have the tiebreaker over the Philadelphia Eagles. So then if the Eagles win and the Bears lose and the Eagles finish with 12 wins, the Eagles are the 2 seed, the Bears are the 3 seed. But if the Bears beat the Lions next week, even if they lose tonight, they are still the 2 seed in the NFC playoff picture. Hey, you can start the new year off as a better better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That includes everything we offer: the daily best bets, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, the AI prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our betting guides. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Scott Satterberg back here with you. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will continue to take a look at Sunday night football between the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers. Coming up next hour, we will take a look at the college football playoff quarterfinals. That's right. We have one game coming up on New Year's Eve, three games on New Year's Day. So this is my final chance to speak to you guys prior to those games kicking off. So we'll give you some thoughts and we'll give you a preview. Parker Fleming will join us on the program to preview those four games in the college football playoff quarterfinals. Maybe a thought on some of the bowl games coming up as well. But as we recap what we saw here on this Sunday, week 17 in the NFL, it sets up some key matchups here in week 18, which the NFL has to be happy about because we have some meaningful games now, whereas we might not have, but we do have some meaningful games. But earlier we had games that matter. The Browns beating the Steelers 13-6 means that next week we will see the Steelers and the Ravens play for the AFC North title. This was an embarrassing performance from the Pittsburgh Steelers. In a game where you had every opportunity to win this football game against a team that was not going to score on you offensively, that was not going to do much against you offensively, and you, Aaron Rodgers, dropped back to pass 39 times in this game, 21 of 39, 168 yards. How? Sometimes I just sit here and I wonder, literally, what these offensive coordinators are doing at times. Do I claim to know more football than an offensive coordinator in the NFL? No. Is it easier for all of us to look back at things in hindsight and say, oh yeah, this is what they should have done? Absolutely. That's what we do. But sometimes things are just obvious, okay? How much criticism did John Harbaugh and Todd Monken get for the Baltimore Ravens not giving Derrick Henry the football in the final 12 minutes of their game last week against the New England Patriots? And so what did they do this week? They gave him the ball near 40 times, and he rushed for four touchdowns and won you a football game on the road at in Lambeau Field. You have a Browns team that, yes, defensively on their defensive line has played great this season. No one's going to deny that. But lately, they have put so much emphasis into their pass rush, so much emphasis into getting Myles Garrett this sack record. Like, what they're doing on the defensive line is they're doing the twists and the stunts, and they're trying to get Myles Garrett some mismatches so that he can get the sack record. And what that has led to with all this emphasis on Myles Garrett and the sack record is it has led to the Cleveland Browns, giving up way too many yards on the ground. James Cook a week ago rushed for 117 yards against them. The week before that, it was the Chicago Bears in that game, right, where they lost 31-3. And in that game, DeAndre Swift had 100 yards, 98 rushing yards, The week before that, against the Titans, they gave up 161 rushing yards to Tony Pollard. You're getting the theme here, right? Is that over the last 3 weeks, the Browns' defensive line, which had all season been so incredible against the run, had allowed 100 yards, 100 yards, over 100 yards to all of these running backs. Why? Because there's so much emphasis on getting Myles Garrett this sack record. Instead of the normal schemes, they're doing different types of schemes, trying to get him mismatches and all this stuff. Okay. How do you give Jaylen Warren, who has had an incredible season this year, and in this game averaged over 5 yards a carry, how does he only get 12 touches in this game? And you drop back 39 times in bad weather? It really baffles me. that us as fans can look at the numbers, can look at the film, and we have coaches that I respect. Believe me, I have so much respect for these NFL coaches. Yes, they know so much more than us. But sometimes it's obvious. Run the football. Remember that, remember from the Blind Side movie? And Sandra Bullock's on the phone. She's like, run the dang ball. Run the ball. Jaylen Warren had 12 carries for 64 yards. I promise you, if those 12 carries were 18 carries, Steelers probably win that football game. But instead, Aaron Rodgers dropping back to pass with no DK Metcalf, with no wide receiver options. He's force-feeding Marquez Valdez-Scantling. No one's on the same page offensively. It looked as if the Steelers were content to go through the motions in this game and set up a Week 18 matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. Why in the world would you want that game to matter next week? Why do the Steelers want to play the Ravens for the division, for the chance to go to the playoffs, when you have no DK Metcalf, you have TJ Watt, who might not still be back, and if he is back, well, no, we don't know if he's 100% yet, and you have Lamar Jackson coming off of 2 weeks off to rest up his bruise? Steelers are going to lose that game. At least they should for the way they played here in this one. After the game, Myles Garrett was talking about how the Steelers might have cared more about the sack record as opposed to winning the football game. Here was Myles Garrett after the Browns win over the Steelers.
They were more worried about keeping me away from Aaron than getting the win. And I think that's what came back to bite them. So, they'll have to, fight it out with Baltimore next week. But I'm just proud of the guys for fighting and getting this win. That's the main thing, and I'm always going to keep it that.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And maybe if I'm going to go back and watch that game, and maybe that's exactly what happened. Maybe it was the Steelers trying to focus too much on their blocking scheme and protecting the pressure and not making sure that Aaron Rodgers does not get sacked by Myles Garrett. You know what's a good way to make sure he doesn't get sacked? Hand the ball off to Jaylen Warren and run it down the throats of this Cleveland defense that has been run on for the past month. The Cleveland Browns had 11 first downs in this game. I mean, the Steelers didn't do much better. They had 15 first downs. Steelers only had 4.5 yards per play. Browns had 5.2 yards per play. Time of possession was even. Just a pathetic performance here from Pittsburgh. And it sets up the game next week, as I mentioned, where probably, I mean, they're underdogs right now on the early line here. The early line for the game next week between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we don't know when that game is just yet. We're going to get confirmation from the NFL because all of the games are flexed here in week 18 of the season. So we're going to have games on Saturday. We're going to have games on Sunday. But right now, the early line on that game, keep in mind it is in Pittsburgh. Ravens are a 3-point favorite over the Steelers in week 18 to win the division. The Ravens, a 3-point favorite in Pittsburgh with the division on the line. That is telling. Elsewhere, the Tampa Bay Bucs lose to the Miami Dolphins, and they are unable to take advantage of the Carolina Panthers losing to the Seattle Seahawks, and that sets up the matchup here in Week 18 where the Bucs and the Panthers will play for the division. So there was a chance if the Bucs had won this game, then they would have pulled to 8-8, tied with Carolina at 8-8. And then I guess it didn't matter. Like once Carolina was losing, it didn't matter. This game didn't matter anyway. The only chance that Carolina had was if Carolina won and then Tampa Bay lost, then they would have Carolina would have eliminated Tampa and already won the division. But now we have two division games, and we will have a third in the NFC West, possibly, depending on what happens here tonight. Want to remind you guys, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide. at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide. Go to vsin.com or omahasteaks.com/vsin. That's the website, omahasteaks.com/vsin. Now, minimum purchase is required, and you can see site for details. We'll get back into Sunday Night Football, finalize some best bets coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on vsin, the Sports Betting Network.